to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. I'm going to read for us verse 11 through to 19. Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 19. Verse 11, and it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for, Lord, this opportunity to gather around the word of God once again, Lord. May it be, Lord, not just merely out of habit, Lord, but out of a desire to hear from you, to hear from heaven this day. We're thankful for the word of God. We're thankful you've preserved it for us, Lord, that we can say today, Thus saith the Lord, with confidence, knowing that it is your word. Lord, I pray you would bless our time now in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible tells the story of these 10 lepers. And they saw the Lord Jesus as he came into the village. And they cried out to the Lord, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. You need to understand, of course, that leprosy was an incurable disease. And if you had leprosy in those days, you were a total outcast. And you were cut off from everybody else. You were shut out of society. And it was a terrible, terrible situation to find yourself in. Now, here were 10 of them. And they saw the Lord Jesus. They cried out that he might have mercy on them. He told them, go show yourselves unto the priests. In other words, if they were to take that by faith and head for the priest, because the priest was the one who alone could declare someone clean from leprosy. They couldn't just say, well, I'm better now. They had to go to the priest. There were certain things that had to take place before the priest could say, okay, the leprosy's now gone. You may go back into the community. Outside that, they were considered unclean. And if they were to be going down the street and they saw someone coming, they would have to cry out, unclean, unclean, so that people could avoid them and to keep right away from them. Terrible, terrible sickness and disease to have in those days. I guess at any time it's a terrible disease, but they were totally ostracized and cut off from other people. And yet the Lord Jesus was gracious toward them, told them to go to the priest. It was to take the fact that they believed that he could do something for them and act by faith, head toward the priest. Now what happened, the Bible says there, and it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. As they responded to the word of the Lord Jesus, he healed them. And the Bible tells us there, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Very unusual. Samaritans were the dogs, as the Jews would call them. They were the half-castes. They were if you're a Samaritan, you're a reject. If you're a leprous Samaritan, you were doubly a reject, as far as the Jews were concerned. And yet the Lord Jesus was gracious unto them, and and he was merciful unto them, including this leprous Samaritan. And I'm thankful this morning to remind us that there is no sinner too great, there is no sin too great that the Lord Jesus can't heal, amen, that he can't forgive. You read some of the testimonies in the scriptures of people who came to the Lord and their lives were burdened down with the guilt of sin, and yet the Lord forgave them. The woman taken in adultery. The apostle Paul, as he was arrested by God, as it were, on the way to Damascus, he'd going around, he was on his way to get some more Christians to torment them, to put them in prison, to maybe see some of them killed. And the Lord got a hold of Saul and he saved him. Now, I don't know about you, and I know we've said it before, but Saul probably wouldn't be one of those people on your prayer list who you really believe that God could save. You'd look at him and say, there's no way God could save that fella. He's so bound up in his religion, because that's what he was bound up in. The Bible tells us in Philippians, as he gave his testimony, Paul said, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He said, let me tell you, my genealogy was faultless. He said, I had it all. He said, concerning the law, I was blameless. He said, let me tell you, I was a totally religious man given over to the things of God, so I thought, but he was lost. And God was gracious to him and saved him. You think of the maniac Gadara, who was out there in the amongst the tombstones, and he was cutting himself and slashing himself, and they tried to chain him, and he burst the chains asunder, and that nobody would have anything to do with him. They were fearful of him, and yet the Lord Jesus came to him and saved him. And the Bible says he was clothed in his right mind and sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus. I'm thankful this morning to commend to us once again a Savior who can save anybody. Doesn't matter how bad the sin is. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, the Apostle Paul said, of whom I am chief. He said, I'm the greatest sinner of all, and yet God has saved me. So if you're an unsaved sinner here this morning, take heart, God can save you. You can't be worse than the Apostle Paul. He said he was the chiefest of sinners. And yet this leprous Samaritan, the Lord Jesus healed. And the Bible says there again that he fell down on his face at the feet of the Lord Jesus, giving him thanks. The Lord Jesus said, were not there 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Reasonable question, isn't it? 10 men with leprosy, outcasts, rejects of society, not accepted by society. Unclean, unclean, keep away from them. The Lord Jesus healed them. And he says, where's the 9? He said, weren't there 10 that were cleansed, but where are the 9? It's a good question, isn't it? You would think they would have all rushed back and said, oh, I just want to thank you, thank you, thank you. I've been a reject for years, and I've been an outcast for years, and I've been unclean for years. Oh, I'm so thankful. Only one came back. He said, what happened to the other 9? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But I wonder whether this one who came back, this Samaritan, this doubly cursed person, as it were, is maybe a challenge to you and I. He came down and fell at his feet, giving him thanks. I want to ask us the question this morning, how thankful are you and I? How thankful to God are you and I for our lives and for our situations and for what's happening in our lives? How thankful are you and I to God? Would we have been with that Samaritan on our face before the Lord giving thanks? Or would we be with the 9? Would we be with the crowd? You see, the crowd is unthankful. So how do you know that? Have a look in the scriptures, you'll find that. You look at the nation of Israel as they were going through the wilderness. Time and time again, they murmured against Moses. They murmured against God. You say, what that murmuring means? They were unthankful. They were complaining time and time again. God had brought them out of Israel with a great hand and with great power. He'd brought to naught all the gods of Egypt. And finally, they came out under the leadership of Moses. God was leading them by day with a pillar of cloud and by night with a pillar of fire. He was providing them with manna from heaven. He was blessing them and taking care of them. And they kept murmuring and complaining. They weren't thankful. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible says there, or maybe look there, in Romans chapter 1, see what God says here as he traces the decline of mankind. In verse 16 of Romans chapter 1, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." I trust this morning that you and I can say we're not ashamed of the gospel. When the opportunity is there, we share the gospel with people. We're not ashamed to name the name of Christ. Verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them." Paul's tracing down the decline of man. He's saying man is without excuse. That's where he gets to in a moment. The wrath of God, the judgment of God. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." Interesting, isn't it? God says the invisible things are clearly seen. The fact that there is a creator who holds all things together. "Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God," notice that, "neither were thankful." Major, major problem has been down through the history of mankind that men, by and large, are not thankful to God. You think about it. There's floods. Where's God? Why do you allow this? How come this person died? How come that? Things are going well. Who's thankful? Who's thankful to God? Doesn't matter what happens. God, I say this carefully, God just can't win as far as man's concerned. If things are good, they don't thank him. When things aren't so good, they don't thank him. Just unthankful. Paul said that's an indication of the decline of man, who knows and sees the invisible things, knows there is a God, knows there's one on the throne of heaven, and won't be thankful. Won't be thankful. You have a look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Cross to the right a few pages, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we find this idea of being unthankful is part of the spirit of this day and age in which we live. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." We live in last days, perilous times. Notice what Paul writes here. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers." Sounds familiar, doesn't it, to our day. "Disobedient to parents," across the board. And notice then, unthankful. Unthankful. Paul said part of the spirit of the last days, the spirit of our age, is a spirit of unthankfulness. Who, knowing God and seeing invisible things of God and are mindful of God and his judgment, are not thankful. Imagine, of all countries in the world today, Australia, I think, would be probably the best. The tremendous liberties and the tremendous blessings we enjoy. Yes, we have our floods. Yes, we have our droughts. All part of God's plan. But just an amazing country we live in, yet how many people are thankful to God? How many people really thank God? I wonder how many people out of the 20-odd million people in Australia today actually today will thank God for this nation. Probably not a lot. percentage-wise, probably just a minute amount. And yet we have every reason to thank God for his mercies. But the spirit of this age, part of that is being unthankful. Now what about you and I? How thankful are you and I? Let's have a look again at what the scriptures tell us we ought to be in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Just back to the left a little. Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 18, there's a commandment for us as believers, be not drunk with wine when it's excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves, verse 19, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Notice verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul makes it very clear for us here, doesn't he, what we ought to be doing. What is the will of God? You can go up in verse 17 of that chapter. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Understand what God's will is. God's will is for every believer to be filled with the Spirit of God, to be controlled by the Spirit of God. And when we are, we will be giving thanks always for all things. One of the great blessings about the scripture is that God makes it very simple and clear for us. We are to be thankful always for all things. Well, I'm pretty thankful most of the time. You're supposed to be thankful always. Well, there's some things in my life that just happened recently I'm not happy about. You're supposed to be thankful always for all things. But life's been a bit tough for me. Give thanks for that. It could have been tougher. You don't know how tough it is. It could get tougher, let me tell you. You try other countries today as a believer. Many pastors in other countries are in prison and have got prison sentences, years, and they regularly torture them. I won't go into all the tortures they perform. You say, I've got problems, let me tell you. You could have a lot more. You could have a lot more. Giving thanks always for all things. See, we're so prone to live in the flesh rather than be filled with the Spirit. When we're filled with the Spirit of God, we understand that everything in our life has been brought into our life by God's providence, by God's will, and God's working those things in our lives, and we can be thankful for them, even though we don't necessarily understand everything. Some of it's painful. But we're to give thanks always for all things. It's clear, isn't it? You know, now which things should I give thanks for and which things not? Should I give thanks once a day or just every now and then? No, God says giving thanks always for all things. It makes it very simple. Go across to the right, just a few pages. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Very similar to Ephesians 5:20, but just a slightly different aspect that Paul writes about here. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, God's word says, in everything give thanks. Notice what he says, for this is the will of God. He says, I'm not sure what the will of God is for my life. Let me tell you one thing which is the will of God, that is in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks, not just in most things. Yeah, but there's this and that. Yeah, we know all that. In that situation, give thanks to God. Give thanks to God for it. And in that situation, give thanks to God. For this is the will of God. It makes it clear, doesn't it? In everything. Not in most things. In nearly everything. In 99% of things. But God says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God. Have a look in Hebrews, just a little further across to the right. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Again, dealing with this matter of being thankful. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. The Bible says, by him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Right, by the Lord Jesus, offer thanks to God, praise to God, That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. This is to be, a sacrifice going up to God continually, and I'm giving thanks to God continually in his name and to his name. Continually giving thanks. Now, question, how thankful are we? Do we measure up to scriptural thankfulness? Are we giving thanks always for all things? Are we giving thanks in everything? Are we continually giving thanks? You say, well, that God asks and expects a lot of us. He does. He does. But he is worthy, remember. He is worthy that we would give him all thanks. We would give him all praise in everything and for everything. And that it would be a continual thankfulness, a thankful spirit. And it'll be totally in opposition to the spirit of this day in which we live. Remember, in the latter days, part of it will be unthankfulness. I'm not happy with my lot in life. I'm not happy where God has put me. I'm not happy how God has held things up on me here, or how he hasn't answered here. Think about Job. Go to Job chapter 2. Just you go to the book of Psalms, which is in the middle of the Bible, then go back to Job, which is right next to Psalms. In Job chapter 2, we all know the story well of Job, I'm sure. The book of James says, remember the patience of Job and the mercies of God. In Job chapter 2, Satan has been desiring to so work in Job's life that he would be unthankful and that he would turn away from God. In verse 7, there's been a meeting. God's spoken to Satan and given him further permission. Verse 6, the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. God says to Satan, you cannot kill Job, but he's in your hands for the time being. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, verse 7, chapter 2, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Now, I don't know whether you've ever had a boil. If you haven't had one, then thank God you haven't had one. I've had a couple over the years. When I was younger, I had one in my side and I had one on the side of my face. And I've still got a little bit of a scar there where this one was. And let me tell you something, they are painful. They are painful. And there's not much you can do about them until finally it gets to a place where the core will come out, which leaves a great hole, and then it begins to heal. But up until then, it is painful. And that was one then and one here at another time. The Bible says that Job had them from head to foot. Imagine what that would be. I can't even imagine. I mean, just one's enough. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself, a little bit of pottery there, broken piece, and he sat down among the ashes. And here he is, Job, this man who's really totally unaware of why this is happening in his life, and has every reason, humanly speaking, to say, God, what is going on? You said I was the most righteous man in all the years. You know what I've done over the years, and yet you've allowed this to happen to me. What is going on? I'm not happy. Well, notice verse 9. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Said, Job, how is it you can still sit there and not be complaining and murmuring? Here's her advice. Curse God and die. Said, Job, here's how you deal with these situations. You curse God and then you die. Every man needs a good wife like that, amen? My soul. But notice his response in verse 10. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Now we don't read there, of course, that God said, thank you for these boils, Lord. But he certainly wasn't complaining and murmuring. He didn't understand it and he wasn't enjoying it. He's sitting there on the ash heap and he's got this bit of pots and he's scraping at these things, trying to relieve the pain. I mean, it wouldn't matter where he scraped. He had them from top to bottom, so he could scrape anywhere. And the pain of it. And, one thing boils do, they also generate heat. And they get inflamed. And here he is. He's hot. He's in pain. And his wife's saying, just curse God and die. But he didn't complain. He wasn't unthankful. He maintained, as his wife said, he maintained his integrity. He said, shall we receive good at the hand of God and shall we not receive evil? What a lesson in Job's life there. So often we're like Job's wife. We like the good things, but the not so good we're not too happy about at all. In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? And so for you and I, we are to give thanks in everything. We are to be thankful for everything. We are to continually give thanks. Let me show you some things that we ought to be thankful for that are shown for us in the scriptures. Have a look in Psalm 136, just across into the next book in the Bible there from Job. Psalm 136. Many, many things we ought to give thanks God for. And I want to touch on some of them this morning that God has shown for us here in his word. In Psalm 136 and verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Imagine that. Job's wife didn't think he was all that good, did he? Job's wife didn't think God was too good. You just need to curse God. If you thought God was good, you wouldn't say curse him, would you? She didn't think he was good. How could God allow this? How many times do you hear people raise that as an issue? When you want to talk to them about God and the things of God and spiritual things, and they'll point at you and say, well, if God is so good, why is this? And if God is so good, why do you allow that? Well, the Bible tells us, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. God is good. God is good. Not only that, he says, God is good and his mercy endures forever. His mercies in the book of Lamentation tell us his mercies are new every morning. God's mercies. You know, God is merciful to you and I. Every morning and every day, he is merciful. He doesn't give us what we deserve. Amen. If he were to give us what we were to deserve, you and I would be in hell today. That's it in simplicity. God is good and God is merciful, his mercies endure forever. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that when I trust Christ as my Saviour, I don't have to wake up one day and think, uh-oh, God's mercies have stopped. Now I'm in trouble. No, God's mercies are forever. When God saved me by his grace and in his mercy, he reached down, as it were, that hand from heaven and saw me on the 28th of February 82 and said, I'm going to save this man. I'm going to make him one of my children. From that day on, I didn't have to worry whether God's mercies might forsake me. Didn't understand it all back then. But I've learned, I'm still learning, that God's mercies are new every day. God's mercies are new, and we are to give thanks to God for his mercies. He says in verse 2, O give thanks unto the God of God, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks, verse 3, to the Lord of Lords, for his mercy endureth forever. He's trying to tell us something, isn't it? God's a merciful God. And we're to give thanks to God for his mercies. His mercies endure forever. The goodness and the mercies of God. Go back to the left just a little in Psalms to Psalm 30. Psalm 30. Here's something we're to give thanks to God for. In Psalm 30, verse 3 says, O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave, thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Verse 4 says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. We're to give thanks when we remember that God is a holy God. God is a holy God. He is, we say, thrice holy. The book of Isaiah says, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the seraphims were singing, holy, holy, Holy Lord God Almighty. In the book of Revelation in chapter 4, we find the elders around and the four living creatures around the throne saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty that is and was and art to come. We're to give thanks at the remembrance of God's holiness. It means God is totally separate and set apart. He is totally pure and holy in every aspect of his being. God is holy, and God says to us, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning. And so the hymn goes. Give thanks to God for his holiness. Thank you, Lord, that you're a holy God. Give thanks to God for his various attributes. Thank God that he is omniscient. That means he knows everything. I mean, I don't know about you, but that's a blessing to me. God knows everything. Now, that can be a little frightening at times. You're not right with God. God knows it. But when you're right with God, it's a great blessing to think that God knows everything. There's nothing that God does not know or has not known. Before God ever said right back there at the start of Genesis, let there be, God knew everything. God can only know everything because he's God. And it's a wonderful thing to come to realize that God knows everything. He knows every need, every hurt, every desire, everything. He knows it all. And then God is omnipotent. In other words, he's all-powerful and he's able to meet every one of those needs according to his riches in glory, Paul said, by Christ Jesus. We are to give thanks at God's holiness. We are to give thanks for God, who he is, his attributes of his omniscience. God is omnipresent. That means God is everywhere present. That means we can't get in some position and we go, where's God? Well, I wish he was here. No, he's omnipresent. God is present everywhere. God is no more real on Mars than he is here than he is in heaven. God is everywhere. And we're to give thanks for that. Give thanks unto God. Give thanks. Have a look in Philippians into the New Testament now. 1 and 2 Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians chapter 3. Sorry, chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. One of the things you notice in Paul's letters is that he's often thankful about different things. Here's one in particular that we ought to be thankful about. Paul, verse 1 of Philippians chapter 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what he says in verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. You say, what sort of things should we be thankful for? We ought to be thankful to God for every brother and sister in Christ that we know and for everyone we don't know. Be thankful for the believers. Thankful for the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Mount Gambier. Amen. Be thankful. Be thankful. Thankful to be part of the family of God. What a privilege to be a part of the family of God. What a blessing that is. And we're to be thankful to God. How many times in the last week have you thanked God for fellow believers? I was going to, but I forgot. Well, make it a part of your prayer life. In everything, give thanks. Give thanks for all things. Give thanks to God for other believers. Thank God for other believers. Thank God for the family of God. Have a look in Romans chapter 7, back to the left. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts and Romans. Romans and chapter 7. Again, these are things that we are to be continually thanking God for. And in Romans chapter 7, Romans chapter 7 is an interesting chapter. There's this struggle that goes on in the believer's life if we're not very careful. And Paul, writing here, says, for example, in verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. You ever been there as a Christian? Why do I keep doing this? I don't want to do it. I hate it. And yet I do it. Paul says in verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that's good. Now then it's no longer I do, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Paul says, I've got this desire, I've got a willingness to do the right things, and I just can't work out how to do it. Because I try, and that which I would not, that I do, and that which I would, I do not. He says, I'm just in a struggle here. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And so he goes on, and then we get down to verse 24. He gets to the point where he says, oh, wretched man that I am. Here I am, I want to live for God, I want to do the right thing, but I just can't find how to do it. I keep falling, I keep struggling. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Notice verse 25. He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So how do you get victory in the Christian life? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the Lord Jesus. Remember, the Bible says he is the way, the truth, and the life. And oftentimes we talk to unsaved people, people who haven't trusted Christ as their Savior, and we tell them, listen, you need to understand that the Lord Jesus, he is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. If you'll trust him because of what he did on the cross and died for your sins and rose again, if you'll trust him, he'll save, he'll make you a Christian, one of God's people. And we tend to leave John 14:6 there. But let me tell you, as believers, he is still the way. He is the way. How do I get victory? Through the way. Who's the way? The Lord Jesus. Who's the life? The Lord Jesus. I thank God that I can get victory over these struggles and over this sin that seems to keep defeating me. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's a blessing. Think about that. Have a look in 1 Corinthians 15, just across a few pages. Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, next one on from Romans, chapter 15. All of us at some time in our lives have thought about death and the awfulness of death and the hopelessness of those who die without Christ. And you only got to go to a funeral of an unsaved person, you'll find out how bad life is without the Lord. Because when you go to an unsaved funeral, there is no hope. There's nothing you can say to that person or to the suffering and the sorrowing family and friends and acquaintances. And so you don't have to worry because they're in heaven now. You can't say that. Can't say that. Death, the finality of it. But notice here in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul speaks about, he says in verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, or we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. When it comes to death, when it comes to the grave, we have victory through the Lord Jesus. Because you read the rest of the chapter about the resurrection here in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. Read it sometime and see that Christ is the first fruits of them that slept. Those who trust the Lord Jesus, their Saviour, one day there's a resurrection coming. And our bodies, if we've died before the Lord comes, will be raised up incorruptible and we'll become immortal. And we'll have victory over death and over the grave. You say, how does that happen? Through the Lord Jesus. Thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto the God which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Many things we can thank the Lord for. We'll look at one more. 2 Corinthians, next book on. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and the final verse in that chapter. Now that's what Paul writes there. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. God's unspeakable gift. It's like Paul is trying to get across something to us here. He says, this gift of God, this gift of salvation, this gift of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is unspeakable. He said, how do you put into words that God the Father would so love the world that he would give his only begotten Son to be abused and misused and derided and mocked and scoffed at and beaten and nailed to a cross, and then would allow him to put the sin of the whole world on him? He said, this is unspeakable, this gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. So that you and I don't have to go through life hopeless. You and I don't have to go through life fearing death. You and I don't have to face an eternity separated from God because of his unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. If you're saved this morning, I trust that you continually give thanks to God for his unspeakable gift. One thing by the grace of God I endeavour to do every day, I thank God that I'm saved. I thank God for his unspeakable gift. I thank the Lord that he was prepared to come and die on the cross and pay the price for my sins. I don't understand it. It's a mystery to me. I contemplate it. I meditate on it and I marvel at it. And I think, Lord, I don't understand this, but I'm thankful. I'm thankful for your unspeakable gift whereby you have saved me. I'm thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder this morning, how thankful are you and I? Remember the story we started with, the 10 lepers, these despised and rejected, offscouring of society, who came to the Lord Jesus and asked for mercy. And he extended mercy to all of them, but only one came back to give thanks. I wonder this morning, how thankful are you and I to God? How thankful are we to God for his mercies, for his holiness, for who he is? For other believers, for victory that we can have over sin, for victory over the grave and over death, and for God's unspeakable gift. May the Lord help us just to review our own hearts before the Lord. Remember, God's made it easy for us. He says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. Giving thanks always to God for all things, that's the will of God. And to do it continually, that's the will of God. Let's pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for this time together even, Lord. We thank you for the liberties we enjoy. Thank you for this facility. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. We're thankful, Lord, that you are working in each and every one of our lives, Lord. We're thankful that, Lord, you know all things. We're thankful, Lord, that you're a holy God. And we're thankful for your mercies, Lord, for without that, those mercies that endure forever, then, Lord, ultimately, we'd all finish in a devil's hell. We're thankful for your grace. We're thankful for your love. We're thankful, Lord, for your long suffering to us. We're thankful, Lord, for who you are. And Father, we're thankful for other believers. We're thankful, Lord, for the victory which we can have over sin through the Lord Jesus. We're thankful that through the Lord Jesus we have victory over death. And the grave has no more fear. For if we're to be absent from the body, we're present with the Lord. Lord, we're thankful for these things. We're thankful for thy unspeakable gift. And Lord, I pray that each one of us, Lord, might think about these things this morning. How thankful are we? When we're told to give thanks always for all things and in everything, and we're to do it continually, Lord, how short do we fall at times? Lord, forgive us for times when we murmur and complain and we're not thankful like we ought to be. Lord, there's no question each one of us has difficulties at times, sometimes great hardships. And yet, Lord, because you're a good God, we're to give thanks because you're a good and you've allowed these things for our good. Lord, help us to be thankful. Lord, help us to be counted among those who, like the Samaritan, return to give thanks to the Lord. And not to be counted amongst the nine who continued on. And no doubt they were probably thankful, Lord. No doubt they were praising you in a way. But, Lord, they didn't come back to thank you. So, Lord, may we be a thankful people, Lord. And Father, I pray if there's anybody here this morning who's never trusted the Lord Jesus as Savior, then that'll be the reason why they struggle to give thanks, why they struggle to see any purpose or meaning in life, or why they struggle with the issue of death, and why they struggle with the issue of trying to be a better person and don't seem to be able to get anywhere. We're thankful for your unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus, who is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. And Father, maybe there's someone here this morning who needs to be saved. They've never trusted Christ as their own personal Savior. Lord, I pray that maybe if there is a person like that, they might, Lord, in their own thinking, their own thoughts before you this morning, in their own heart, they might say, Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I'm thankful for the unspeakable gift of salvation that is freely offered through the Lord Jesus because of his death on the cross and his burial and his resurrection. This morning I would ask you to forgive my sin and save me, make me a child of God. Father, maybe there's someone like that. This morning I pray that you would show mercy to them and grace, and may they in this moment now even believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. So Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to come together. In the Lord Jesus' name, amen.